Lord, I call on you to make up in spirit what cannot be said. Give us an awesome impression of your presence. Sober us. Be the magnet that draws us to yourself. Have mercy on us while we look at you. Show us yourself. Show us the Lord Jesus Christ, and it will be enough. Have mercy on this imperfect creature. May it be said that this weekend was the time where you came and arrested us, astonished us, riveted us, and overwhelmed us with your love. And as I said yesterday, the presence of God is not an it that you seek. It is not a thing that you seek. It's not even an encounter that you're trying to go after. The presence of God is a him. It is a person. Amen. And there's a big difference between seeking a him, H-I-M, Christ, and seeking a feeling or a sense or an experience. You understand? There's a big difference. Let me just say this. With all the assignments that I will give you, if you are expecting an experience, it's misguided because you're seeking him, not an experience. Amen. An expectation is a disappointment waiting to happen. It really is. You're pursuing a person. The presence of God is Christ. No matter what experience you may have, this weekend or at any other time, it is never to be equated with the person of Jesus. Christ will always be greater than any experience you may have. He will always trump it. No pun intended. Good, this is not a political crowd. They have no idea what I was talking about. The joke fell to the ground. Good. Sometimes a person's experience with the Lord, if they have some kind of a dramatic encounter, can become an idol in their life that they chase instead of Christ himself. And if you remember when the resurrected Christ appeared to Mary, she tried to cling to him. But he would not let her do that. And many Christians, they try to cling to an experience that they hear someone else utter or that they themselves may have had, and they try to cling to that experience, but that is not Christ. Our God is elusive. He will always break out of any experience you may have. So don't seek an experience, seek him. And a lot of what happens when this door opens, a lot of times it's subterranean. God is working in areas in your life. He's working in ways that are way below the conscious level. And the fruit of it is manifested later in your life. And I'm going to talk about this because I think it's going to help a lot of you in many different ways. Let me share with you something that recently broke upon me. I have never read this in a book. I have never heard anybody speak about it, not in the way I'm going to. And I think it's going to set a lot of you free, especially those of you that really struggle with the presence of the Lord in an aspect of knowing that you have it, knowing that it's real, encountering it. I think this is going to help you a lot. I call it the subtlety of God's presence, the subtlety. And as I say, this just broke upon me very recently as I was considering this conference. Now, what I'm going to do is I'm just going to read a couple passages, but I'm going to talk about them and apply them, okay? Here's the first one. Therefore, I want you to know that no one who is speaking by the Spirit of God says, Jesus be cursed. And no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. Now that's Paul of Tarsus writing to the Corinthians. It's 1 Corinthians 12:3, and he's saying something, boy, this is high octane as far as I'm concerned. He's saying that a person who says Jesus be cursed or curses Jesus cannot do that by the Spirit of God. They're not speaking by the Spirit of God. But if you say Jesus is Lord or Lord Jesus, You cannot do that. You cannot say that. You cannot utter that without the Holy Spirit speaking through you. Now, here is the mind blower. Are you conscious that the Holy Spirit is speaking through you when you say, Jesus is Lord or Lord Jesus? You're probably not conscious of that. But according to Paul, you cannot say it without the Spirit speaking through you. That gives us a window into how the Holy Spirit speaks through us. It happens subtly, at almost an unconscious level. Why is that? Because when you came into Christ and He came into you, your spirit, your human spirit, was joined with the Lord. He who is in Christ is one spirit with Christ. I'm quoting 1 Corinthians. Your spirit joins with the Spirit of the Lord. And that spirit reverberates through your mind, your will, and emotions. And so the Holy Spirit in your spirit has been joined together so tightly, kind of like putting a tea bag in water, where you can't separate the two. But certain thoughts you have, certain impressions you have, certain feelings you have, certain desires you have are coming from the Spirit of God, but you're so joined to the Holy Spirit, your spirit is, you don't even detect where it's coming from. You don't even recognize that it's the Holy Spirit. That's the subtlety of God's presence. You follow what I'm trying to say? Now, that's one passage. Here's another one. When Jacob awoke from his sleep, this is talking about the incident of the stairway to heaven, which, by the way, that is the original Stairway to Heaven, those of you who are Led Zeppelin fans, the one that Jacob saw in the dream. He thought, listen to his words. He woke up and he said, surely the Lord is in this place, and I knew it not. I was not aware of it. Sisters and brothers, to those who have eyes to see the kingdom of God and live in Christ's conscious presence, every bush is burning. Amen. The Lord was in this place and I wasn't aware of it. That's the subtlety of God's presence. All right, here's another one. This is the Lord speaking to Elijah. You all think you know what I'm going to say, but I promise you don't. Go out and stand on the mountain before the Lord. The Lord tells Elijah this. And behold, the Lord passed by, and a great and strong wind tore into the mountain and broke the rocks in pieces before the Lord. So this is dramatic. This is a hurricane came through there, or a tornado. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake shook the mountain. An earthquake, tremors everywhere. But the Lord wasn't in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. Now, this is the way most of you have heard it. And after the fire, a still small voice. Right? Y'all familiar with that? That's most translations. You know what the Hebrew says? A voice of gentle silence. And the New Revised Standard Version. Is Tim in the room? You know about the New Revised Standard Version. It translates it this way. The sound of sheer silence. God was in the silence. He wasn't in the earthquake. He wasn't in the fire. He wasn't in the hurricane. He was in the silence. Wow. The subtlety of God's presence. The Lord was here and I wasn't aware of it. He's in the sound of silence. I can't say Jesus is Lord with conviction without the Holy Spirit saying it through me. All right, here's another one. By the way, that's 1 Kings 19:11-12. In the passage where Jacob says, the Lord is in this place and I'm not aware of it, it's Genesis 28:16. All right, listen to this. Then Delilah saw that Samson had told her everything, and she sent word to the rulers of the Philistines. So the rulers of the Philistines returned with the silver in their hands. After putting him to sleep on her lap, she called for someone to shave off the 7 braids of his hair, and so began to subdue him, and Samson's strength left him. Then she called Samson and said, Samson, the Philistines are upon you. He awoke from his sleep and thought, I'll go out as before and shake myself free. Now listen to these words. But he did not know that the Lord left him. Jacob says, the Lord is here and I didn't know it. The Lord leaves Samson and he doesn't know it. This is the subtlety of God's presence. Are you seeing a pattern? That's Judges 16, 18 to 20. Now we get to Jesus, and this is mind-blowing to me. It really enlightened me on this whole thing. Jesus is speaking to the Pharisees. Now, this is in John 8. And later in the conversation that he has with the Pharisees, he says to them, your father is the devil. He just says that. Your father is the devil. He's talking to the Pharisees. Your father is the devil. That's John 8, 44. But listen to what he says in verse 38. He says to the Pharisees, Jesus speaking, I am telling you what I have seen in the Father's presence. And then he says, and you are doing what you have heard from your father. Now, watch this closely. Jesus says to the Pharisees, you are doing what you have heard from your father, the devil. Now, do you think those Pharisees were in touch with the fact that Satan was speaking to them and they were carrying out what Satan said? Anybody? Absolutely not. Totally out of touch with it. They thought that was their thoughts. They probably thought it was God. You know, inspiring. They were doing the work of God. And yet, Jesus says, you're doing what you heard from your father. The point is, none of them were in touch with that. But here is where it gets really encouraging. This is Jesus speaking about himself. For I did not speak on my own, but my Father who sent me commanded me to say all that I have spoken. That's John 12, 49. And then listen to these words. All things I heard from my Father, I've made known to you. John 15, 15. Now notice the wording. Here's what he says to the Pharisees. You are doing what you heard from your Father. And then he says, all the things I heard from my Father, I am making known to you. So the Pharisees are hearing from their father, and Jesus used the exact same words, all things I've heard from my father. So if the Pharisees weren't in touch with the fact that Satan was speaking to them, then the way the father was speaking to Jesus was also subterranean. He knew it was the father, but it wasn't this dramatic thing. He uses the same language. And my point here is that when the Lord is speaking to you, when the Lord is working in you, when the Lord is encountering you with his presence, sisters and brothers, you often are not even aware of it. It's that subtle. I thought that was astounding. And then he tells his disciples, but it will not be you speaking, but the Spirit of your Father speaking through you. Matthew 10, 20. You can look back on certain things and say, you know what? God inspired that. But at the time, you're not even aware of that. Because it doesn't come in a dramatic, emphatic, noticeable way. And that is the subtlety of God's presence. It's all over Scripture. For it is written in the prophets, they will all be taught by God. Everyone who has heard the Father and learned from him comes to me. John 6, 45. Well, when you came to Christ, you weren't saying, well, yeah, the heavens open, God spoke to me in an audible voice. Or you wouldn't even say, yes, God the Father spoke to me. There was a light went on. You had faith. You turned to the Lord. But what was really happening was the Father was speaking to you and you heard the Father. So this should set many of you free from seeking encounters that are visceral and tangible. Now, if those things come, praise the Lord, that's great. But if they come, never make an idol out of them and don't chase them.